Not sure if Right Spot is for you? Keep listening to hear real Right Spot stories and experiences from the field, and maybe even some stories from outside the field, from the Right Spot product specialists themselves, who may or may not know if they're married. Welcome to Ag Leader, the podcast. I'm your host, Russ Morgan. With over 30 years of experience, Ag Leader is here to bring you another limited edition series highlighting the evolution of agriculture. Ag Leader has been and continues to be an industry-leading innovator in the precision ag sector, provided a complete line of top-tier products designed and tested to help growers plan, plant, apply, and harvest more efficiently and effectively. Our products are backed by a full technical support team and a commitment to quality unmatched in the industry. With many factors out of farmers' control, inputs, cost for fertilizer have been rising since 2020. However, these prices may plateau with the need for less fertilizer in the future. Find out how our new application technology, Right Spot, will play a huge role in solving this problem. Joining me today to discuss applying with intent are application product sales specialist Logan Hansacker and product tester Evan Boderman. Gentlemen, welcome to the podcast.
Hello.
Thanks, Russ.
Glad to be here, man.
Well, we find ourselves, this thing will be released in the middle of March, so we're starting to warm up. You know, we had some cold days in December, a few cold days in January, and hopefully everybody's ready for spring. So I want to spend some time today talking about Right Spot. You guys have both been very heavily involved in it with testing and release and all the things that go into that. But before we get started with that, I want to ask you guys a little bit about your background, where you grew up, where you came from, where you went to school, and really how you came to Ag Leader and how you came to the position that you're in now. So, Evan, let's start with you. Tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got here.
Yeah. So, Russ, I grew up in Granger, Iowa. Went to high school there. And next was Iowa State. So I was there only 3 years and graduated from there. And met a farmer that he didn't have any children to pass anything down to. So I got started farming in 2016. So I've been farming with that gentleman for the last 7-8 years now. Yeah. And when I first got out of college, I had a trucking business as well as the farm. And then there was some tough years with farming and the trucks kind of got old. So that's when I started here at Ag Leader. So here in May, I'll be here for 5 years in the testing department and been enjoying it ever since.
And you recently got married back in February, didn't you not?
I'm actually getting married next week, back in February.
We're going to be releasing this in March, though, guys. Where's your time machine, Joe?
That's right. I forgot about that.
Well, get back in the hot tub. It is the time machine, and we'll make this all work together. Well, Logan, same question to you.
Yeah, so I grew up in Radcliffe, Iowa, so kind of a central Iowa, 30 miles north. East here of Ames. I grew up in the country, but not necessarily on the primary farm. So I was involved some on the farm with my cousins and uncles as we grew up. And that was what really kind of got me excited about agriculture and excited about farming. I really liked running equipment. That was like one of my favorite things to do on the farm, was to go out
exactly.
And run equipment. Probably similar story to a lot of people, but there's just something about getting out there and getting work done that I really enjoyed, and being able to play at a pretty key part in the operation. You know, there's the up all nights with the ripper in the fall, so you get the work done before the ground freezes. I love that. Like, I wanted to be that guy that could say, yep, I ran for the last 18 hours and we got the field done, now the work's done, now we can go and sleep for a
Excellent.
While. So that kind of started my excitement around that. I went to school after high school, went to Iowa State University, where I took the Van Wilder path through college. Took a little longer than maybe most people did, but I started in one major, and then after I realized that maybe, you know, that wasn't quite the right thing for me to do, it wasn't necessarily agriculture related, and I just really missed being a part of the farm, so I changed my major to ag systems technology and ag business economics, and then right before my senior year I switched to ag engineering. So that's what took me the good part of a decade to get through school. After that, I went and worked in equipment sales for a little bit and worked for a co-op in central Iowa, selling, installing, being kind of the tech support for Ag Leader and other equipment that we offered there. Did that for a couple years and went and farmed for a little bit after that, and then went to Ag Leader. So I've been here since 2014, I think it is, so 8 years.
Not bad, not bad.
9 years.
Yeah. All three of us went to Iowa State, and I had forgotten that Evan and I went to the same high school together. Little age difference in there, maybe, but we both went to Woodward Granger High School.
The education got worse as it went on, obviously.
But obviously.
Just kidding, Evan.
So a typical day in your job, Logan, what are your typical job responsibilities in your new role?
That's a good question, because I recently changed roles. I was a product specialist for application, so I worked a lot on kind of the development of RightSpot with the teams to work with that and define that and help execute on some of that stuff. I didn't do the programming. I'm not that smart. But I at least helped to communicate what needs to happen so it can work well for our customers that bought that system. So that was something I did until a few months ago, and then I switched to the product sales specialist role, and it's been a whirlwind. It's been exciting, but I'd say my primary responsibilities now are to help build stories around our products, help to build the value and the messaging around our application products, why they matter, how they benefit the operator, the customer, and to be able to share those stories with our sales staff and our sales team, as well as customers at various grower events too. So I get a lot of time spending just talking about, man, what AgLeader can do for your farm and what our products can do to help benefit the grower.
Excellent. Yeah. Evan, same question to you.
Yeah, so in the testing department, our main focus is software focus. So AgLeader, we offer the in-command display, but then we also offer the modules that actually perform the work of planting, harvest, application, and dialing, and the other operations. So we make sure that as we release new features that we didn't break or cause any further issues. So we go through tests and make sure that we test all the configurations that the display can support, as well as AgVanity, SMS, all your data is going to be there, it's going to be accurate, it's going to be right before it ends up in the customer's hands. So my role in RightSpot was to facilitate the beta field testing throughout the country. So we select cooperators that fit our needs for machine specific or value that they bring with feedback. And then we go and install a beta test system and get feedback, dive deeper into issues that there are, your software stuff, before it ends up in the broader public's hands. So,
man, so you've been at it since the beginning. So yeah. My question to you would be, how many years and how many acres did we beta test RightSpot on? I mean, it had to have been a lot.
Yeah, so we started RightSpot field testing in the spring, summer. It was actually like a late spring, June of 2021. So probably rough acres, I would guess 160,000, 180,000 wow. Between 14 machines across the United States and then one even in Australia.
Cool. Excellent. So, you know, I want to spend the majority of our time today talking about the different problems that RightSpot can solve for folks. But before we do that, let's kind of clarify some of the problems that guys might encounter. Evan, would you start us off with that? When you are looking at a typical sprayer, say one that you've run yourself, that's running a normal application system, what are some challenges that when we started looking at developing RightSpot, we're like, we need to address these challenges?
The main thing with RightSpot, in compared to a traditional sprayer, is just, for me, is like the speed and pressure. When you think of an old traditional sprayer, you're always going to select your sprayer's tips and you tell the counter guy, hey, I want this gallons per acre at this pressure, and they give you a tip. RightSpot eliminates the need for that with the nozzle pulsating technology, so it allows a wider speed range. And then just make it AgLeader simple is another main problem that we're trying to solve.
I do hear that quite a bit. I mean, again, I've probably said this 5 or 6 times just in the podcast. It's hard to put an exact number on the value of this, but I think it's really valuable that a lot of the folks that test, program, and work here actually farm or use it on farms. The age-old joke is somebody pops the hood of their car, looks at it, and really wishes the engineer would be here to explain why this was put here and this was put here. Whereas, you know, a lot of our engineering and guys that work in the development team actually use the products. It's a pretty good feeling. So I guess, Logan, same question to you. When you think about the problems that RightSpot addresses, what are some ones that you think about?
Yeah, reiterating what Evan said, that's a huge one. Just without a system like Right Spot, you're essentially out of control of your droplet size, of the pressure of your boom, because it's so dependent on the speed that you drive through the field. Mm-hmm. So you try to maintain that speed to give you the desired pressure and coverage and droplet size that you're trying to spray, so that chemical or that product is effective when it hits the plant or the target. But that's really hard to do. Even in square fields, even in flat fields, there's places in those fields that you have to drive around that you got to slow down. You got to take a little extra time. It's a little more technical. And so when you're out of control of that, anytime you have to speed up outside of the capacity of that nozzle, you're getting finer droplets and potentially drift, or potentially that chemical is not hitting the target because it takes a long time to get to the target. They're fine droplets. They evaporate or they blow off where it should hit. So you're missing out on coverage there. The other thing, though, that I'll mention too is the turn compensation system. Mm-hmm. The turn compensation ability of that is a big one. We know that every field's not square, and every field has different obstacles around it that you got to drive around, power lines, or sometimes there's a culvert or terraces or whatever. There's things in your field you have to drive around. Well, any time that sprayer turns through that field to avoid those obstacles, you're not getting the same consistent coverage and rate across mm-hmm. that whole boom width when you turn. So Right Spot helps address that and fix that problem by giving you the right rate across your entire boom, no matter how you're driving through the field and swerving around, curving around, driving like a maverick.
Yeah.
That's a huge one. The nozzle-by-nozzle auto swap too has major benefits as well when it comes to cost savings and application savings.
Excellent. Evan, do you have any? You act like you have something to say.
Yeah, I had another thought. So over the winter here, I've been looking at a lot of my sprayer maps, trying to get prepared for this, as well as in general out of curiosity. One thing that Mr. Sam Wilson mentioned was the percent of on rate. So like in previous, our liquid offerings with direct liquid, you know, you had the minimum flow setting. And mm-hmm. the user would always set that to the minimum pressure that it takes to open your drip jacks.
Yeah.
Right? Because you always want to spray it.
Yep.
And it was amazing to me, because I farm South Central Iowa, where nothing's flat and nothing's square. The amount of times I was hitting my minimum flow and over applying in those areas, and now they overlay the two maps next to each other, the amount of times I was actually achieving the correct rate in that field is incredible. I mean, it's night and day difference, just lining that up. Actually, gallons to gallons used in the same field.
Yeah, I can remember doing some of the very first introductory presentations we did on Right Spot and showing, you know, with previous generations of application, we knew what they were applying. We knew the tip that they had, so we knew generally what rate, and based on that rate, what speed they should be going. And 30 or 40% of the time, they were either above or below that speed, so they weren't necessarily applying the right droplet size. So it's a big deal. On top of that, as I've been talking about this at different conferences and trade shows, the nozzle by nozzle, but specifically the ability not to have to outline waterways, how much time guys spend outlining waterways in their sprayer, and just being able to drive right through, has just been a pretty darn big deal. So there's all sorts of things, and specifically related to rising input costs. Logan, you had kind of hit on that. If you were talking to somebody whose main concern was rising input costs, how would you position Right Spot and tell him, hey, this is really a thing that's going to help you?
Yeah. How would I position it? I would say it's something that you can do immediately. You can put this on the sprayer you own today on your farm, and it'll immediately provide an impact. It'll immediately save you chemical. Now, we're looking at anywhere from 4 to 8%.
I was 5. I did the math before we did this. And I was right at 5%.
Okay. So the numbers are jiving, and those numbers increase if you have more oblong, crazy-shaped fields with a lot of different things that are breaking them up. So the numbers become fairly significant, and even when you think about 5%, I'm working with a farmer that his overall herbicide chemical bill, everything that went out of sprayer last year that they had to buy, was over $200,000 of what they applied last year to grow corn and soybeans. So, you know, there's a different number of passes and stuff to account for each crop, but overall that was his bill. And if you can say that, and with Right Spot, you could save 5% of that, maybe up to 8% of that. Let's say you spend more on your chemical program than that every year. The numbers really start to add up to become very significant. you know, the last couple of years we've seen fertilizer and herbicide costs go, they've just gone crazy. Yeah. Even relative to seed costs. We're used to seeing seed increase every year, but the relative increase of those inputs compared to seed has been just astounding. So people are feeling that, and anything they can do to help reduce the cost of those things is just going to help put them in a better position to be profitable year after year.
And, you know, we've kind of had a little bit of this for a while, but Evan, as far as it relates to record keeping and stuff like that, you know, that's obviously not going to become any less of a thing. And the more that we can make it easier for growers to be able to collect that data, specifically talking about the application report and some of the other things that we're recording, dealing with Right Spot, how is that going to help a grower with record keeping?
So with Right Spot, man, you're always going to be consistent pressure when you have that large speed. Mm-hmm. So now with the Smart Report, you can accurately put your actual boom pressure and capture all of that and be able to share that if you ever get audited. I've had cooperators of mine or beta field testers that have gotten audited, and is it the EPA or NRC? I don't even know who audits those people, but
the auditors show up in black cars,
yeah,
and they wear suits.
But anyways, he presented his whole 3 years of Smart Reports, and she was absolutely astounded about the amount of information and the quality that was actually there. So what the InCommand is actually producing, and with Right Spot being able to deliver a consistent boom pressure, I think that's would be sufficient for anything.
Yeah, it's amazing. You know, I've had the pleasure to work at Ag Leader for a little over 25 years now, before we even had any type of application product. And, you know, talking about even just to doing some site verification stuff in a YM2000, to doing our application rate in the PF series, all the way up to now nozzle by nozzle. It's just an amazing thing to be able to say, hey, you know, Ag Leader really does know application. And it's a fact, we really do. So, Logan, when somebody's looking at investing in Right Spot, I know it's going to vary from sprayer to sprayer. The nozzles vary, the spacing, the boom, obviously the sprayer itself will affect pricing. But what kind of investment is somebody looking at generally, you know, for a typical sprayer?
I would say it depends on if you need a display and if you're mm-hmm. starting from scratch. There's a lot of that could go into it, but I'd say a good range to be thinking about is probably $40,000 to $50,000.
Okay. But again, you already talked about the percentage savings, so the ROI is there. It's real. Not to mention, like, breaking that lock between pressure and speed and droplet size is it's a big deal.
ROI is the big thing right now because, man, that's real money.
Mm-hmm.
And return on investment for any technology purchase is a really important weight on that decision. If you think about it holistically, ROI is, while it's a really important thing and really valuable, the other stuff too that comes with it is going to greatly improve just your overall experience out in the field when you're spraying. I think like coverage and just what that does, if you think about some of the weeds we're fighting today and some of the challenges mm-hmm. that we're running up against.
The chemicals we got to spray.
Yep. The resistance of weeds. And we know nature, what is it, the Jurassic Park? Saying
nature finds a way.
You know that? Like, that's what our weeds and our bugs are doing. You know, the more exposure they get to chemicals, the more likely it is that they will become resistant or be able to overcome the ways those chemicals are affecting them, controlling them. And Right Spot can really help you to get a good coverage, to get a higher likelihood of controlling that pest by maintaining that boom and pressure. So it's almost like an investment into the future of your farm as far as mitigating some of the risk, not all of it. We can never control all of the risk mm-hmm. of resistance, but man, if you can prolong that challenge for you and your farm for 5 years from maybe running a traditional sprayer, then that could mean some big dollars and cents down the road too.
You know, another thing that I had a guy comment to me one time, he tested Right Spot for me last spring and summer. He wasn't afraid to put his son in it.
Yep.
Okay. So going across, you know, you got fence posts, you got telephone poles. His son might only be going 5-6 miles an hour, but it is doing the exact same job as when you'd be going 12, 13, 14 miles an hour. So it was actually being able to put a less skilled operator that might have not operated this sprayer for 10 years or whatever, and actually being able to do an effective job that way as well.
Yeah. So you guys talking reminds me of two things, actually. I remember seeing a satellite photograph from one of the guys that did testing with us the year prior to him actually testing with us, and he had a big curved turn on the corner of one of his fields, and you could see the difference in the weed pressure on the outside of those booms where it wasn't getting the correct application for that. And Evan, to your cooperator who was having his son run in there, you know, of course, everybody's talking about finding decent help, and there is a skill to running a sprayer. You've got, there's certain things you have to do to run the sprayer. And to be able to take some of that chaos out of the operator's hands, you know, hopefully a grower can find somebody that maybe hasn't run a sprayer their entire life and be able to jumpstart them into operating a sprayer with Right Spot, because the display is easy to use, because it's got nozzle by nozzle shut off, because it's taking care of a lot of these things. So that's actually a pretty big deal, I think, as well.
Oh, that's for sure.
Absolutely. It lowers the barrier of entry of getting a qualified person in the cab to get the job done.
Yeah.
And it can be very challenging, you know, with weeds and with just managing your weeds through the growing season. You don't have always a lot of days that are good and fit for spraying. And maybe you can't be the one that has all the experience. You just can't be the one in the sprayer that day. Well, this can give you some more confidence to put somebody else in the cab to get your field sprayed.
Yep.
When you got to go do XYZ down to 1,000 other tasks it could be on that day when it's just prime. It's perfect for spraying, but you just can't do it. So that's a big one as well.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. That's a good point. I mean, my question about the ROI, there is the dollars and cents. Farming is a business. You need to be able to have it be profitable to keep it going. But at the same time, there's all those things you don't think about, like record keeping, something that it's just happening. You've got the little less stress because you know that, okay, I don't need to necessarily run this exact particular speed. If I need to run a little slower because the ground's rough or I'm slowing down to make a turn, or if it's a big long pass and I can run a little faster, I can run a little faster and I don't have to worry about changing that pressure at all. So those are all really big things that they are a return on investment, even though you might not be able to put an exact dollar sign on them. So
yeah,
I think those are pretty big.
Yeah. So, you know, going back to the days, just the, you know, for planting, you've got a small window to get the seed in the ground. Well, spraying is also very challenging in the summertime. There's wind, there's also rain, there's certain chemicals that need to be on the plants for 6 hours before their rain. So the windows just get really small. And we've heard some cooperators say, man, with Right Spot, I've actually been able to spray, you know, 50, 100 more acres a day than
wow.
I was before. So that's one of the things we're looking at too with Right Spot, is what type of efficiency gains can you get with that system when it's on your sprayer? Because now you have the ability to speed it up and not see the penalties that you would have seen with your old sprayer by speeding up. You can still maintain that target droplet size, that coverage, that rate, control it super accurately and kick it up a mile an hour, 2 miles an hour.
Excellent, excellent. Now, a question that I do get quite a bit, and Ag Leader addresses it very well, is our ability to scale up. Meaning I can start with this particular widget, whether it be a display or something, and then I can add stuff to it. Would one of you guys like to speak to, I do get this question, somebody could start out with our direct command system now, I guess I didn't say that, we have L2, which is our base part of it, and then Right Spot, which is the nozzle by nozzle. Would one of you kind of help us out here and unpack what improvements did L2 bring versus what we had previous to that? And then on top of that, going from L2 to Right Spot, what are the differences there? But first off, what did L2 bring that we didn't have before?
So if you look at L2 as being now our base liquid product controller, mm-hmm. So that was kind of inspired from the ISO liquid product controller.
Mm-hmm.
And ISO liquid was
simpler.
Yes, thank you.
Simpler. But if you look at what ISO liquid brought from direct command, ISO liquid brought additional section control,
mm-hmm.
So you can do more than 10 sections of auto swath with, let's say, L2. It also had some more advanced features built into it as well, for like pressure control,
mm-hmm.
Droplet size monitoring, and pressure fallback. So if you're not familiar with pressure fallback, it's a feature that automatically switches over to pressure-based control when the flows are low. So let's
yep.
say when you have one section on and you're driving slow, the flow meter on your sprayer might have a challenge of actually being able to provide enough feedback to control the system accurately.
Yep.
So you had this like sine wave effect of application. You had it dropping down too low, going up too high. It's kind of hunting to find the rate.
Yep.
Well, ISO liquid and L2 address that, so they have pressure fallback. And that's kind of the era in which we really started to look at what's, compared to what's out there, direct command and a lot of other controllers out there, what are some other new features, new things that we need to build into this to make it better, to make application better for the operator? And those are a couple things. Droplet size monitoring was just a really nice feature to get people to think about the droplet size they were applying. We put the droplet size gauge right on the map so they could see, oh, on this tip, I'm going from a medium to a coarse or from a medium to a fine. If you don't have the book in front of you, you don't really know what's happening. You just see your analog pressure gauge bouncing all over and think, oh, that's probably not good. But now you can actually see what the impact is on the droplet.
And it's logged.
And on L2, it's logged.
Oh, okay. I actually didn't remember that. See, even I learned something today.
Yeah.
So then going from L2 to right spot, obviously the big one is going to be we don't have to worry about that pressure fallback because we're dialing in a pressure.
Exactly.
And because we're controlling nozzle by nozzle, that's not even a thing. But some questions by people, how many different nozzles can I control? I want to say sections, but that's not necessarily the right word to use. But what other advantages do we get from upgrading? Because the other thing I should say is if somebody buys an L2 system, upgrading to right spot is not rewiring the whole sprayer. It's just adding the extra components. So it's very scalable if somebody didn't want to jump all the way the first time. So Evan, you look like you're busting to say
something. Oh, we can do up to 144 right spot nozzle valves. So if you had L2 purchased already, you'd have everything, a sprayer flow control side, already installed, and we'd just be adding the components at that point, so it is scalable in that way. With right spot, you get the turn comp and the speed range advantages, and then nozzle by nozzle auto swap.
Excellent. Now, as far as serviceability goes, what are going to be the things that year after year guys are going to want to look at on the right spot system to address to make sure they're operating at maximum efficiency, and how do we help folks with that?
Yeah, so really the main wear part for the right spot system will just be the poppet or inside the nozzle valve assembly. And we're saying they're good to 2,000 hours. So that's running at 60 PSI with 32% nitrogen. So
that's pretty good. And we have field service kits for those. And it's a really quick change out. It's, what is it, 5 minutes to service one?
Yeah, 2 minutes a piece or so. You could have it off and then the new part installed.
Excellent. So guys, here, before we conclude for the day, what have I missed? Oh, wait, I thought of one thing, something that we haven't had in any of our previous versions before, a sport for some of the John Deere sprayers. Which one of you guys want to address that?
Yeah, so we have support for the John Deere sprayers for actual flow control now. So in the past, we've only done section control on them. So with L2 and right spot, we'll do John Deere 100, up to actually the 4940 series.
So that's a really big deal for us.
And it's a large range, yeah.
Especially for even at home for me. So
yeah.
I was definitely happy to see that. So, and then before I forget, we were talking about some install kits earlier today.
Yeah, so from ISO Liquid L2, the L2 and Right Spot have a larger offering, newer machine styles like the Rogator C, the 50 series Apaches that we will be supporting with L2 and both, and right spot both.
Excellent. And as always, we're always working on new kits as well. So, you know, everybody keeps their eye open with that. And hopefully we've got a kit for their sprayer in particular. So anyway, gentlemen, thank you for joining me today. Logan, Evan, it's been a pleasure as usual. I even learned a few things about right spot myself. So thank you guys very much.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Russ.
Before we end, we were supposed to ask you, Russ, about getting hit. We are
by a car. Were you jogging?
Oh,
were you,
gosh!
Is there a story here that we're not?
There is. There is. So, you know, people joke that getting in shape will kill you. It nearly did kill me. Well, that's a bit of an exaggeration, but I was in Fargo, North Dakota, a year or two ago, and was just out jogging in Fargo. And was jogging.
Trying to get out of there, probably.
Well, you know, I was having a good time just listening to some music and jogging along. And I was jogging along like a four-lane, not a freeway or anything, but a main highway in Fargo. And I'll be darned, I was looking ahead and there was a side street that piped into this four-lane. And there was this Jeep Grand Cherokee that was sitting there with two ladies in it, and I could have sworn I caught their eye, because I really try to do that, because that ain't how I want to go. And I got up to just about a third of the way past him, and I was 2 foot in front of this SUV, and I saw it start coming towards me. And I'm like, well, here we go. And so luckily it wasn't going very fast because I'm old and brittle. But I was able to kind of put my hand on the hood and kind of spin around and get around there. And it happened to be a mother and her daughter. And they felt absolutely terrible because they were just trying to get out into traffic. And I said, no, I'm good. I felt fine. And so, you know, after they surely apologized like nobody ever had. And so I kept kind of jogging a little bit, and man, then my hips started to hurt a little bit. I'm like, I'll turn around, I'll jog back. So I turned around, started jogging back, and my body said, no, son, you're walking. So it was like a mile and a half, 2 mile walk back, and I had to call back because we were going to go out to eat and get a bite for supper. And I had to say, hey, I'm going to be just a hair late because I'm going a little bit slower. And the funny part of the whole thing is, when I would jog at home, because I live out in the country, I would always share my GPS location with my Becky, not your Becky. You know, you're a married man. And I'd say, hey, if this icon stops for more than a couple of minutes, you best come find me, because some drunk farmer ran me down and kept going. So I would always joke about that. Luckily, nothing's ever happened. So I got back to the hotel, and I called Becky, and I said, hey, you remember why I always share my location with you when I go out and jog? She goes, yeah. And I said, well, guess what happened to me today? Man, did she dress me down. I probably deserved it. But anyway, yeah, that's the whole getting in shape will kill you story.
So do you still run?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Outside?
Yep. Some outside. When it's nice out, I will. For whatever reason, my body prefers a treadmill. I don't know if it's because of the belt or whatever it is, but yeah, there's less danger on a treadmill.
There's no drunk farmers.
No farmers, period.
No. Unless they come down to say hi. So yeah, most of my stuff is done on a treadmill, whether it be in my basement or at a hotel workout center. So yeah, that's a pretty good story.
Thank you for sharing.
And thank you guys for joining me today and helping me out on the podcast. I appreciate it.
Yeah, appreciate it, man. Thank you.
Be sure to follow us on social media at AgLeader on Facebook and Twitter and at AgLeader Tech on Instagram for more episode postings and updates. Thanks for listening to the AgLeader podcast. Tune in Wednesdays for the next episode.